We start first by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him and bearing witness that there is no deity but Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the Day of Judgment. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Who remembers where were we last time, last Sunday?
I didn't attend, so I cannot say.
Those who attend, we were discussing which surah? Surah Al-Ankabut, that's right. And what's the theme of Surah Al-Ankabut? That's right. Let me quickly, in about 4 minutes, summarize to you what we have talked about. We have talked about the theme of the surah comes from the name, comes after the name, and the name comes from the ayah in the middle of the surah that says that the people who seek or resort to anybody other than Allah for support and help and protection is nothing but a spider resorting to its house for shelter. And the weakest house ever is the house of the spider. It gives you a deceiving shelter. It deceives you. You think it's a house, but it's not a house. You think it provides a shelter, but it doesn't provide a shelter. You think it provides social protection, but it doesn't provide social protection. Socially, the weakest house is the house of the spider. When the husband and the husband spider and the mother spider gets married, and then the mother spider gets pregnant, she eats the husband. And then, when she gives birth to the children, spiders, when the children spiders grow up, they eat the mom. So, not only structurally it's the weakest house ever, but also socially. So those who resort to other than Allah for help and support, they are nothing, doing no more than a spider resorting to its house for shelter, protection and support. And then Allah says, وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبِيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. The weakest house ever you can ever imagine, the weakest house that ever exists, the most deceiving house that you think it's a house but it totally does not provide anything that the house provides, is the house of the spider. And then the next verse Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah knows very well that they are seeking help and protection and support from nothing. From nothing. From worthless sources. It is nothing. It's a fake. All what you see, these izzah that those people have in this life, is nothing but a fake izzah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةِ. Whomsoever is after izzah. And of course we are all after izzah. Who doesn't want izzah? Izzah means to have power. Enough power that nobody can mess with you. Enough wealth that you can never feel needy or feel deprived from something that you want to get. Okay? That's called izzah. Power and wealth. Who doesn't want izzah? Everybody wants izzah. So Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةِ. Whomsoever wants izzah, everybody will say, yes, me, I want izzah. Allah says, the answer is, فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Allah is the true owner of all izzah. The kings and leaders in this life have fake izzah. It's not a real izzah. It's not a true izzah. Why? Because if they give you any kind of support or shelter or protection, it is a short-term protection. Short-term protection with the permission of Allah. If Allah permits them, then they will give you the short-term protection in this life, and then ends with a miserable humiliation, everlasting humiliation and pain in hellfire. Who is that? The izzah? Is this the izzah? That in this life you live whatever kind of life you have and then ends with a miserable, eternal humiliation and hellfire? Is that the izzah? This is a fake izzah. When the Pharaoh, you know, he decided to punish the magicians. Who, when the magicians bow down to Musa, to bow down to Allah and say, we believe in the Lord of Musa. And he was so upset that they did that. And he said, how come you did that without my permission? And then he decided to punish them. He said, I'm going to cut your hands and legs and crucify you. What did they say? What did they say? They said, we are not going to be deceived by this punishment or this short-term temporary pain that you are going to put us through. Because فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضٍ إِنَّمَا تَقْضِ هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Allah only gave you short-term authority to do whatever you want to do just for that short period of this life. That's it. This short period of life, this is the one that you have the authority and the power to do whatever you want. And this is going to end quickly, and this is going to end soon, and when it ends, it ends. That's it. You have no more power, you have no more authority. On the other hand, you'll be thrown in hellfire, you and whomsoever followed you and supported you. So Allah says, Allah knows, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ. Allah knows that they are seeking help from worthless sources. And whomsoever is wants izzah should seek the izzah from the true source of izzah, from the true owner of izzah. Don't do injustice to yourselves and seek izzah from the false gods, from the false lords, from the false kings. Though they have short-term powers and wealth, Allah gave it to them as a test. To work as the soldiers of the shaitan. Shaitan has the power to recruit muscles and brains, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also invites us to recruit muscles and brains. And then the falsehood and the truth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anbiya, and we talked about last time, they mix together and boil together in this melting pot, which is this life. One of them is going to prevail, and Allah said, بَلْ نَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ. Allah is going to throw in the melting pot the falsehood and the truth, and the truth is going to completely prevail and wipe away the falsehood. And the truth is going to be established strong and clear. So, and the whole purpose is a test. During that short period of life, it's nothing but a test. For this short-term power, fake izzah, is Allah is giving this to those people because it is a test. So that Allah will determine who is going to, and Allah will demonstrate who is going to stand up for Him. When pushes comes to shove, who's going to stand up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who's going to defend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And who's going to turn his or her back to the soldiers of the shaitan and struggle against them and work against them to stop their evil and wickedness? This is the theme of the surah. And then we start to going through the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by ridiculing the ones who think that Allah will fall down for their deception. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala severely ridiculed the one who thinks that he can deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by him having a wicked heart and pretending otherwise. And then Allah moves to the other side of the picture. Now this is the picture of the guy who's not sincere, who's faking it, who's lying, who's pretending faith. And Allah's uncovering him, running him through one test after another test after another test to uncover the truth about him. Versus the one who is مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ, who is looking forward to the meeting of Allah, planning for it, preparing for it, just like you prepare for your retirement. He's planning, or she's planning for her or his after death retirement. And they are planning to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, remember the following. And this is where we stopped the last time. Number one, فَإِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتٍ. For sure, the meeting of Allah is coming. For sure, definitely. Don't repeat the mistakes of the people before you. Unfortunately, we do repeat the mistakes of the people before us. And to give you an example of how do we repeat the mistake of the people before us when dealing with the issue of death, look at this example. Just imagine that we are sitting in a stadium, all of us sitting in a stadium. And in this stadium, there's a lion, hungry lion. He's a monster, really. And this monster is chasing a man, and this man is chasing a beautiful deer. So there's a beautiful deer running, and the man is chasing after this beautiful deer, trying to catch the deer. And after this man, there's a very ugly, you know, monster, lion, running after this man, trying to catch him and eat him. And we are all sitting on the stadium watching this race. The man looks behind, he sees the lion. He's fully aware that the lion is running after him. And he knows for sure, he has no single doubt that at one point of time, this lion is going to catch him and eat him. Yet, he ignores the lion and focuses all his effort on trying to catch as much as he can from this beautiful deer. Running, running, running after the beautiful deer. And the lion is running, running, running after him. The example of the man is our example. The example of the beautiful deer is the pleasures and attractions of life. And the example of this lion is the death. And we're watching. We know for sure that the lion is going to catch up with us. But we're focused so much ignoring the lion completely. And we are so much focused on running after the deer. And yes, a man running after a deer represents this life, and the lion represents the death, and the lion is chasing the man, and the man is chasing the deer. Deer goes first, running. After the deer, there's a man running, chasing. After the man, there's a lion running, chasing. And the man knows for sure that this lion is going to catch him and eat him. He has no doubt. Anybody here has doubt that the lion at one point is going to catch us? Please, if you have any doubt, raise your hand. Tell us your secret. If a Prophet Muhammad died and all the people who died before us, I mean, there's no doubt. Okay? Now, but however, we look behind, we're aware of the lion, we ignore the lion, we continue chasing after the deer. All our thinking about this beautiful deer. How can we get as much as we can from this beautiful deer? And then what? Now, this is not the sad part. Of course, we know the ending. The ending is that the lion is going to catch up with this man and jump on him and eat him, right? And we have seen that, right? We have seen that with friends and relatives. We have seen them dying, right? The sad part is that we are sitting on the stadium watching, seeing them making this mistake. And when we go down to the field, what do? We repeat the same exact mistake. How come we were watching them being eaten by the lion? How come we did not learn from their mistakes? Repeat the same exact mistake. And this life is nothing but feelings. Happiness is a feeling. Pain is a feeling. Hunger is a feeling. Patience is a feeling. And those feelings get forgotten. You know, few weeks later, when you have sacrificed for the sake of Allah and you suffered pain because of this sacrifice, few weeks later, this pain is going to be forgotten. Okay? And what remains is the record of the good deed only. That's what remains. And then will be completely forgotten from the memory. And so is the pleasure. If we do get any pleasure because of disobey Allah to get any pleasure, or to get any gains, or to get any entertainment, or run away from our obligations and homework to get some kind of peace of mind, quickly, few days later, this pleasure is going to be forgotten. And completely, in few weeks, it will be gone, completely wiped away from the memory. And this is why Allah says, أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ. When Allah comes on the day of judgment, Allah says, I remind them about what they have done. I have recorded it and they have forgotten it. And then they keep, in Surah Al-Kahf, they keep yelling and saying, وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. They cry and yell and say, oh my God, how come this book, this report, does not leave a single small little tiny word, a single small little tiny thought, a single small little tiny action, a single small little tiny intention, without recording it so accurately? What happened? Who are the physical witnesses? What was the motive behind it? What happened at the end? How did it land? And what are the traces? As Allah said in Surah Yasin, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. We write whatever they have done and the traces, and we trace it back. We trace whatever traces, because when you do something, you know there are traces for what you do. Like if you do something good, it leaves trace. You know this is like the continuous charity, for example. Traces. We trace it back. Like if you any good deed you do, it Allah traces it back to the ones who taught you, and then to the ones who taught you. And then to the ones who taught you. All the way, the tree goes, multi-management tree, until the Prophet Muhammad, he gets credit for every single good deed that we do. So Allah says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا سُورَةِ يَسِينُ وَآثَارَهُمْ. The traces, we trace back the deeds, good and bad, all the way. Until the ones who taught it, or who were the reasons for it. So that's the first message that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whomsoever plans for to meet Allah, number one, فَإِنْ عَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتِ. Be sure that the meeting of Allah is coming. And really, if you wanna You know the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about ihsan. First of all, he explained Islam, then he explained iman, then he explained ihsan. The way he explained ihsan, he said, is like you feel the presence of Allah physically, like Allah is present with you. You feel it. When you have this feeling inside you, then you have reached that rank. It's like, you know, how do we feel, for example, the worthless police officers? Like, if you're speeding and you see a police car, what do? You slow down. How come? Right. Or if there's a stop sign, you make sure you stop and count to three. And then if you're not wearing the seatbelt, seatbelt, seatbelt. Right? Why? I mean, if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you feel the presence of Allah, the way you feel the presence of the police officer who's watching you, and if the influence of the existence of Allah on your heart is exactly the same or more than the influence of the existence of this police officer, then you have reached that level of ihsan. So that is the first advice from Allah. Be sure, feel it in your heart that you will meet Allah for sure. When this feeling is present in your heart, present really in your heart, then you have gotten the first advice that Allah has advised. Number one. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ He is recording everything. Hearing everything, knowing everything. Advice number two. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ Whomsoever is struggling, sacrificing, doing some effort, he is doing it for his own sake. Don't you ever think for a minute that you're doing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a favor. Don't you think for a minute, like Allah said in Surah Al-Ahzab about وَقَالَ الْأَعْرَابُ أَمَنَّا The Arabian people surrounding the scattered in the Arabian Peninsula, when they came to Islam, they said أَمَنَّا Allah replied, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا You have not achieved the quality of faith in your heart yet. وَلَكِنْ قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا The correct statement is to say, we are Muslims. We have declared Islam. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ And faith did not enter your heart until the present time. And then, following, Allah said, يَهُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا They are saying that they have done you a favor by becoming a Muslim. Tell them, لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم. Tell them you did not do me any favor. ولكن الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم صادقين. Allah is the one that tells you that He has done you a great favor if you are really, really sincere. And we know in Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in Surah Al-Muddathir, Allah said to His Prophet, ولا تمنن تستكثر. Don't you ever think you're doing too much. Don't you ever think that you're doing favor to me? Don't you ever think that what you're doing is too much? That you have done too, your sacrifices are too much? And you have sacrificed too much? No, don't. Because you are really doing everything for your own sake. And Allah will take your penny and give you billions of dollars in return. Allah will take whatever worthless deeds that He doesn't need. And you do whatever good deeds you do to Allah, Allah is not needy for them. Allah will take them and thank you generously for them. What? By everlasting happy life. This is how much Allah, when Allah says, I'm Shakur, I am the most thankful one. Indeed, if I thank you, I will say just thank you, probably buy you $10 a gift. How can I thank you? How can I thank you, brother? How? How? Buy you a book, get you a car, buy you a house. But Allah, if Allah wants to thank you, He thanks you with an everlasting happy life in Jannah. Everlasting. Jannat in tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Homes, river flowing underneath. And just close your eye for a minute and think, when you are entering Jannah, what kind of sound you'll be hearing? Listen to the sound of water. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ Rivers flowing underneath. Rivers, and Allah in another surah say, rivers from honey. And rivers from wine, not the bad wine, the good wine. Rivers from this, rivers from that. Fruits that you wish, the fruit it comes to you. Birds that when you wish the bird it comes barbecued to you. Shopping malls. When the shopping malls, you go shopping as much as you want. You don't have to pay a penny. You don't need a credit card. You go shopping. Jannah changes its skin every single day. Every single day you wake up, new house. New everything. Jannah changes its skin every single day. It's like we're bored from the first day. So, no. Allah. Activities. How fun activities. And, you know, just imagine. Imagine how much fun in this everlasting happy life. It's not only for 1 million years. Because when these 1 million years end, where are you going? No. It's eternal. It's forever. Now, what did we do to get that? What? Prayer that we are, our body is praying and our heart is shouting? What? What did we do to do that? Sacrificed few pennies, few dollars? We really did nothing. And whatever we did, we were well thanked for, we were well rewarded for. Well. And Allah is the most generous. Not to mention the hidden gifts that shower us in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you don't only get gifts in the hereafter, but there is something called hidden gifts in this life. And there's something also called hidden punishment that you don't feel. Like that slave from the children of Israel who used to disobey Allah day and night. And then he was so ignorant that he would talk to Allah and say, "Oh Allah, how many times I disobey you and I've never seen your punishment. Where is your punishment?" So Allah revealed a revelation, sent a revelation to the messenger who's living at that time. Go tell my slave how many times I punish you and you don't feel it. I give you all kinds of punishment. This disease was a punishment. If you didn't do that sin, you wouldn't get that disease. This nagging spouse is a punishment. This nagging child is a punishment. This job is a punishment. This supervisor is a punishment. You have lost this and this. Stock market is a punishment. You know, opportunities are in the hands of Allah. If Allah wants to make you rich, He will guide you to hunt countless opportunities and you are a millionaire. And if Allah wants to make you a poor, He will make you miss every single opportunity. You open a store, it goes out of business. You buy a car, you wreck it in a car accident. You do anything, it ruins. All in the hands of Allah. He can help you. He can guide you to buy the right stock at the right time and sell the right stock at the right time. Or He can make you buy it more, buy it expensive and sell it cheap. It's all in His hand. He can give, He can take. He can give you hidden. You know, that car accident that Allah saved you from, you have no clue about. Why? Because you didn't see it. But if you wouldn't donate, if you wouldn't come to the masjid, if you wouldn't do this and that, you would have got that car accident. It's a hidden, it's a test, it's a hidden. Allah does not show it to us. But sometimes Allah wants to tell us, "Hey, I have given you a gift." How? You're driving your car, you're coming close to the intersection, there's a truck running 70 miles an hour, and in the last minute you turn the steering wheel to avoid this truck. And then you say, "Alhamdulillah, my life was saved." Why did Allah do that? If He wants to save you, why does He have to let you almost about to go into the accident, and then He saves you in the last minute? To make you aware. That's it. Because if he doesn't do that, you will have no idea that He has given you a gift. And then you go to the doctor, and then you are suffering from a very bad disease, and then Allah gives you your health back. So Alhamdulillah, I took the disease away from my body. Okay? These are all things, are hidden gifts that Allah, and Allah says, "You, my slave, can never be more generous than me. You give me a dollar, I pay you back $10,000. I pay you back." You know how many people have these luxuries, but they don't have the souls that can enjoy these luxuries. Why? Because they are unable to enjoy what they have in their hands, because they just lost the taste. Everything in this life has a honeymoon. Once the honeymoon is over, the taste, the beautiful taste is gone. The sweetness is gone from the mouth. If you live in a $24 million house, beach, oceanfront house, okay? Trust me, if you have a vacation, you're not going to go to the beach. Why? You're sick and tired from the beach. You're living right on the beach. Maybe in the first week, you enjoy. Once the honeymoon is over, you lose the taste. So you move to the next entertainment and pleasure. Once you enjoy it for a little bit, you lose the taste. And then you move to the next one. So the people who have a lot of luxuries to enjoy, they keep enjoying one after another, and they lose the taste. So they exhaust all pleasures that this life could give. This life has a limit, has a ceiling of pleasures. And whenever the maximum the life can give, it gave to them, and they have already lost the taste because the honeymoon is over. And then what happens next? There are certain things that they cannot get. It doesn't matter how rich they are. But there are certain things they cannot get. And it's causing them pain. And it's causing them suffering. Because they wish to get it, but they cannot reach it. Even though they are so wealthy and powerful, but still they cannot reach it. This causes a lot of pain to them. So one hand, this pain is making their life miserable. On the other hand, all these luxuries and homes and houses and cars is not causing them pleasure anymore. Because they have already lost the taste. It numbs. Their feelings numbed. Okay? Because they have seen that car 10,000 times. They have lived in this house for 3-4 years. You know, that's it. It numbs the heart. No more pleasures. So, for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give you so little. But Allah gives you the heart that enjoys it. Or Allah can give you so much. But Allah takes you from you the heart that doesn't enjoy it. Tell me, what happens to you if you get a bipolar depression? Even if you are a millionaire and you have a bipolar depression, good luck. I'm not aware of Prozac and Lexapro and Effexor and all these antidepressant medications. None of them make anybody happy. People are so rich and they are in the morning, 2 bills, 3 bills, 4 bills. Just to kill the pain. And then why are you suffering pain when you have all this money? It's all in the hands of Allah. It's all in the hands of Allah. Go run after the deer. Go collect money. If Allah doesn't want to give you a gift of happiness, He would not. At the same time, wallahi, one of my friends in Egypt used to tell me, every time I am going to work, I am miserable. And the janitor who's taking care of our apartment building is tickling his wife. They are tickling each other and they are laughing. And I say, oh my God, I am living in this fancy apartment. I am miserable. And they are living in this very poor room. And they are happy and tickling each other. Happiness is in the hands of Allah. Blessings are in the hands of Allah. You can have $1,000, but not blessed without any blessing. Then what happens? Okay, you get a car accident, you pay $500 deductible if you have insurance. So here's $500 are gone. And then you have another surgery and you pay $500 copay. Where's the $1,000? Goodbye. Because it's not blessed. But if you have $1,000 blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you go and buy every single thing that you need and you say, wow, alhamdulillah, this $1,000 worked really well. It gave me everything that I was looking for. Don't you count by the numbers. Don't grab your calculator. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by Allah who's holding my soul that the charity does not decrease the wealth. Don't do like the materialistic people. Grab a calculator and say, you guys are saying nonsense. $1,000 minus $200 equals $800. Then how can you tell me that the charity does not decrease the wealth? One, if we call the barakah efficiency, if you use a scientific term, efficiency instead of barakah. If you have $1,000 with 50% efficiency, then you actually have $500. But if you have $800 with 100% efficiency, then you have what? $800. How many times you wake up in the morning, you start the car, it doesn't want to start. You go out, you fix the car, and then you go out, you hit every red traffic light. You go to the bank, 45 minutes waiting line. You know how many times? Why you're, this day is not blessed. But how many times you wake up in the morning, you wake up early and fresh. You start the car starts. You go around, you finish all your business in half a day, and by noontime you're done. This is a day and this is a day. But this day is blessed by Allah. This day is not blessed by Allah. And blessings are totally in the hands of Allah. So when you increase the numbers in the bank, this is nothing. This is fake. This is nothing but a deceiving. These numbers don't make anybody happy. And in the end, it's going to probably make the ones who inherit you happy. Because you're going to leave them behind. And what remains are the sins that you have accumulated. If you have fallen short in doing your homework for the purpose of accumulating this money, then this is what you end up with. And they enjoy the money that you've worked so hard for. So it is not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not feel that you have done me a favor. Never think that you have done too much. You are doing yourself a favor. I'm giving you hidden gifts. Not to mention, in this life I'm giving you hidden gifts, not to mention the everlasting happy life in Jannah. And then وَمَنْ جَهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Know very well that Allah doesn't need your jihad, doesn't need your sacrifice, doesn't need your struggle, doesn't need your charity, doesn't need it. Allah is self-sufficient, self-satisfied, have everything. He created His own enemies. Are you struggling against His own enemies? He created them. He gave them the powers and the freedoms to do whatever they want for a short period of time, appointed time, for His wisdom, for the wisdom of the purpose of life. He did that. You think that you're doing Him a favor? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Muhammad, ذَلِكَ وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَانْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. If Allah wants, He would have wiped them, His enemies, all in a blink of an eye. But it is for the purpose of testing you. That's the whole thing. Testing you. To see if you're going to do your homework, to stand up to, for the sake of Allah, or you're going to run away. And then the fourth advice, which was the reason this surah was revealed, was because of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And today is the Mother's Day. I didn't plan it, but it came by coincidence. It is related to the reason of revelation of this surah, and it is related to the fourth advice in this surah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas had a mother. When he became a Muslim, his mother hated it, and she started fighting him, and he wouldn't listen. He says, "Mom, today's Mother's Day." So he says, "Mom, I am not going to quit Islam." So his mom tried hard, she couldn't. So she thought about something really wicked and strong. So she said, "My son, I am going to go on a hunger strike until I die. Okay, if you don't quit Islam, I am going to continue the hunger strike until I die. And then when I die, all the people around you are going to call you the killer of his mother. The killer of his mother came. The killer of his mother is speaking. The killer of his mother. And your name will change to the killer of his mother to the rest of your life in the entire Arabian Peninsula. It's a shame that you have to live with if you don't quit Islam." And she thought this is going to affect him. But you know, those guys who are the early Muslims, they were very strong. So he told her simply, "Mom, if you have 7 souls and you die in front of me 7 times, I am not going to quit Islam, Mom." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah and revealed this verse. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. We have advised the human to be nice and kind with his parents. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي. If they struggle against you to quit Islam and to take partners with me, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Don't obey them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But be kind and nice. Don't be harsh. Don't be rude. Be kind and nice. Apologize politely and continue to give them love and support in this life. For you are committed to them in this life. In the hereafter, you will be the people of Jannah from the people of Jannah, and they will be the people of hellfire. And when you see them burning in hellfire, you will have no pain in your heart. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when people go to Jannah and they see their relatives or their parents burning in hellfire, they will feel nothing. They will actually think that, they will understand, they will have a different state of mind at that point, that they will understand that Allah is fair and this is their fair share. This is the fairness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, bottom line is that Allah said, don't be harsh, don't be mean, don't be ridiculous, don't say whatever you said, because this statement is very harsh and very irritating, and just don't listen to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a person who is straddling the fence. Here's the fence between being a soldier of Allah, standing up for righteousness, making decisions based on righteousness, and sacrificing for the sake of righteousness and moral values to represent the moral values of Allah on earth. This is this side. And on the other side is the kingdom of the shaitan. It's to make your decision based on selfishness, greed, jealousy, envy. It's to make your decision based on money, strategic interest. It's to make your decision based on materialism. Whatever brings you more, you go after it. Regardless, right, wrong, ethical, unethical, halal, haram. Nothing. I am here. People are divided into the camps of Allah or the camp of shaitan. With different grades and degrees here, and different grades and degrees here on this side. So some people are standing on the cutoff line, borderline. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. As Allah said in the surah, He said in the same surah, the ayah that comes after that, Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. He is worshipping Allah on the edge. He's straddling the fence. He's standing right there. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ يُطْمَعَنَّ لَهَا. When everything's going fine, the money is increasing, and nobody's bothering him, and he's gaining more power and getting promotions, he continues on the same path. Because it's nice and cool and there's no price to pay. Right? It's sweet, huh? No price to pay. It's easy, simple. Yeah, no, why not? وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ شَرٌّ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ. When he's punished by the soldiers of the Satan, when they stand up against him and punish him for, you know the saying that says, no good deed goes unpunished? You know that saying? It's an American saying. No good deed goes unpunished, because the soldiers of the Satan are not going to let you get away with the good deeds without punishing you. So that next time, you learn the lesson and don't do it. So when he's punished, what does he do? He flips to the other side. So basically he's waiting. So when the battle takes place, they go out with you, but they stay in the back lines. And then they just pretend that they are with you, but they are not. And if you win, they say, where is our share? And when you lose, they run away. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what are they thinking? Oh, Allah is ridiculing their way of thinking. Say, what? Hello, anybody here? Do you think Allah will fall down for this? Do you think Allah will let you continue doing that without uncovering the truth about you? Do you think you can deceive Allah? What exactly you have in mind when you do that? What were you thinking? Or Allah was completely absent of your mind, and the only thing you're thinking, what am I going to get out of it? What is in it for me? That's the only thing you're thinking about. And Allah is completely absent of your mind. If Allah was present in your mind for one single minute, you would feel ashamed, say, wow, I'm fooling who? Am I fooling myself? Or am I fooling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah talks strongly about that person. And also in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. Same exact statement. Some people claim that they believe in Allah. فَإِذَا أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ. When this person is punished for the sake of Allah, punished for standing up for Allah, punished for being a reformer, when this person has to pay the price of being a reformer, and being a reformer has a price to pay. I mean, any reformer will pay a price. You know, look for example, whether this reformer is a Muslim or non-Muslim. Look at Nelson Mandela. He paid the price, what, 25 years in jail? Look at Steve Biko in South Africa. What's the price that he paid? He was tortured in jail until he was killed, and he broke his spine, you know, because he was a reformer. He stood up for what is right, and he tried to reform South Africa and remove racism from South Africa. Both of them paid the price. There is a price to pay if you want to be a reformer. And the soldiers of the shaitan, the one who benefit from the status quo, the one who benefit from the injustice, the one who, you know, the injustice is their best interest, because it keeps them all the wealth and money. It gives them monopoly over all wealth and money. Those are not going to let you ruin their... This is their Jannah. This dunya is everything they have for. They hope for. This is their target. This is their objective. This is what they think about and they are working for. Those people are not going to let you, you silly, ridiculous person, come and take it away from them. So they have all kind inventions of how can they punish you. How can they seize your money? How can they attack you in the media? How can they ruin your reputation? How can they call you names and punish you really severely and terrorize you? Terrorize you from being a reformer. Scare you from being a reformer. Make you think 100 times before even thinking about standing up for righteousness and standing up against evil. Those people, when they are... You know, people are divided into four categories, and it looks like I have to end here. People are divided into four categories. Salih, Muslih, Fasid, Mufsid. Salih, Muslih, a righteous person in himself, and Muslih is a leader of righteousness. On the other hand, we have a corrupt person and a leader of corruption. So, you know, we have leaders of righteousness, imams of righteousness, and we have imams of corruption. And this expression, imam of corruption, is not mine. It's in the Quran. Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَيُنْصَرُونَ وَأَتْبَعْنَاهُمْ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا لَعْنَةً وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ هُمْ مِنَ الْمَقْبُوحِينَ. We have made them in this life leaders of wickedness, leaders of evil, leaders of corruption, and in the day of judgment, Allah is going to throw them in hellfire, them and whomsoever soldiers who followed them and supported them, and they are going to be cursed in this life and cursed in the hereafter. So that expression, leader or imam of corruption, is a legal Islamic expression used by Allah in the Quran. On the other extreme, we have leaders of reformers. Leaders, people, reformers who lead the reforming movement. And they pay a lot of price, in and out from jail.
You can take only 2-3 minutes to wrap up because we have
to stop. Inshallah. In and out from jail. Salih Muslih Fasid Mufsid. Imam of righteousness and imam of corruption. Two opposite extremes. In between, we have a righteous person who is righteous in himself, but he's not a reformer, or she's not a reformer, and right next to that, we have a corrupted person who's a corrupted in him or herself, but they do not spread corruption around. They are not leaders of corruption, in other words. And I always use this example as an illustrative example to, I say, Amr Khalid is imam of righteousness. On the other hand, Amr Diab. Amr Diab is he's a famous singer in Egypt, who always sings, you know, romantic songs and things like that. So he says, here we go. Here's the leader of righteousness, Amr Khalid, who's a da'iyah, famous da'iyah. And here is Amr al-Amr, you know. And one is the leader of righteousness, and one is the leader of corruption. And in between, people either join this camp with different degrees, or join that camp with different degrees, or mix or intermingle. Mixing, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah, وَآخَرُونَ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah says, and many others that they have mixed deeds, mixed good and bad, mixed good and bad. Pray for them that Allah will grant them repentance from the bad, so that they can get full credit for the good. Because people who have a mix, as Allah said, what balances, right? And all over the Quran, 4, 5, 6 places, balances of justice, what happens on the right, what goes on to the right, good deeds, what goes on the left, bad deeds. Can you get full credit for the good deeds? Can you get full credit for the good deeds if you have bad deeds? Do you know the hadith where Prophet Muhammad asked his companions, he said, do you guys know who is the broke? They said, oh yes, the broke is the one who doesn't have wealth or property. He said, no, that's not the broke one that I'm talking about. The broke one is the one who comes in the day of judgment with mountains of good deeds. Mountains of prayers and fasting and pilgrimage and this. But, on the other hand, this is only half of the picture. Don't cut and paste. Let's look at the other side. He backbited this brother. And he slandered this sister. And he, you know, hit under the belt, you know, blade the hitting under the belt this person, and he took money unlawfully from that person, and then he did not give this person his or her rights, and he did this and that. So they all gather, and every one of them will file a claim to Allah, will appear before Allah and file a claim and say, Allah, I have a claim against this person. What is your claim? This person did this and this to me. Okay, Allah will settle the claim. Take deeds, give it to that person. Good deeds, good deeds. Until these mountains run out quickly, and these good deeds finish. And then he has no more good deeds to pay his account. Then when somebody else steps forward and files a claim, Allah says, okay, there are no good deeds, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to take your bad deeds and put it in his balance. Then he ends up with mountains of bad deeds, zero good deeds, then he's thrown in hellfire. So أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you, brother, for pressing on time. Thank you, brother, Benny, for taking care of.